There are very few people who, when they go to look at somebody's new home, get very excited about the details that give the home its form and its structure. When you go to see a newly built house of your friends or family, you get struck by the beauty of the architecture. You might be fascinated or love the color of the wood or the brick. You're very much intrigued by the appeal of the interior design. But you never hear anybody say, "Man, that's a beautiful foundation that you have." Or, "Look at those exquisite floor or roof joists. I've never seen more beautiful nails in my life." We never hear those kinds of things. But without those details that architects and builders are concerned with, the whole structure collapses. It's not enough just for the building to look pretty. There's got to be form and structure that's solid on the inside. And it's the same thing with us, the body of Christ, the church. The Jews had three different temples, all of which were destroyed. There's no need for a temple anymore. We, the body of Christ, the church, are God's new temple. Christ is the only sacrifice acceptable to God the Father, and we offer his sacrifice for our salvation. And that's why we come together at Mass each and every Sunday, each and every day. We are God's new temple here on earth and are filled with the Spirit of God. And that's the detail that keeps the structure alive. It's the Holy Spirit's presence deep inside each and every one of us. Sometimes we kind of fool ourselves into thinking that the outward show by itself is simply good enough to get by with. Some people think that we don't really have to believe, or that we don't really have to live out everything, every last detail that the church teaches or expects of us, just as long as we look the part, as long as we look good, as long as we look like we're doing something. We look holy, and we kind of fulfill the necessary obligations, but then that's it. Well, as I said, it's not enough simply to be pretty. Saint Benedict tells us that we must not be content with simply being called holy, but that we must be holy, be truly holy, so that we can rightly be called so. When I was in college seminary, most of us had come just out of high school and were from South Louisiana and the Gulf South, so there were some new words that we came across that we didn't always pronounce correctly whenever we were praying. In seminary, they begin teaching you how to pray what's called the Liturgy of the Hours, that is, using the Psalms in a certain sequence, morning and evening at night, and there are some unfamiliar words. For example, the word impious, which is spelled impious, and so we would say impious. Or there's the word bough, B-O-U-G-H, meaning a branch or a limb, the cedars of God with its boughs. But the way it was spelled, we would just say boughs, the cedars of God with its boughs, until one day, the priest who is in charge of our spiritual formation told us, "If you don't know what you're saying, then you don't know what you're praying." And he had to correct us to say these words properly. And that makes sense. We were just kind of going through the motions, doing things kind of with rote experience, but not really being attentive to the details of those things which are important. If you don't know what you're saying, then you don't know what you're praying. If you don't know what you're doing, you don't know what you're praying or offering to God either. Every once in a while, I get a glimpse of things that happen at Mass in the congregation. And I know that sometimes it's hard for us to always give our full attention to God, but we should. We're human, we're weak, and so things happen. Sometimes our minds begin to wander, and we think about other things. Or sometimes we get distracted and begin looking around. And sometimes that distraction begins us looking into who's here, and who's not here, but should be. We get concerned with what people are wearing, or we start complaining about the temperature, or the noise that someone or somebody's child is making. Every once in a while, I'll catch somebody who's reading the bulletin. Not a good thing. Or checking their cell phones. Or they keep checking their watches. Or they're texting. Maybe even chatting or emailing. Those are not good things. But even sometimes, whenever the congregation is supposed to be attentive and praying, for example, sometimes in his letters, St. Paul is going to use the word amen in the context of his letter, and when the lector says amen, the congregation then responds, amen, and it's not time to do that yet. Or sometimes in a prayer, in the middle of the prayer, I'll use the phrase which is in there, through Christ our Lord, and everybody says amen, but it's not time for that either, right? So again, it's listening and paying attention to those little small things and small details that really make our experience of worship worthwhile. Just for thought, if we cannot give our full attention to Christ here, to every last detail of what he wants to give us, then you know that we really can't do it anyplace else. Once we leave church and get bombarded by the experiences of life, there's no way. No way we can see God's presence or pay attention to God in the nitty-gritty of everyday life, but it's there. And we need to, and we should. But it's got to start here in God's house. Consider, if you would, the first reading. After decades and decades of exile out of Israel into Babylon, the Hebrew people, the Israelites, were finally allowed to go back into their homeland. They were excited about that and rejoicing. Back to the promised land, back to Jerusalem, back to the temple, which had been desecrated, and they began to rebuild everything once again. That temple became a symbol of their identity as the people of God and the unity they had as the people of God. And here is Ezra the priest, who finds the scrolls of the law, the first five books of the Old Testament, and he begins to read the law to the people from sunup until noon. For 6 hours, they stood there, we heard, the men, the women, and the children, old enough to understand. Ezra is reading, and they were in love with the words that they heard, and they cried and they wept. How much more so do we have here to have the fullness of the gospel, to be able to receive the body, blood, soul, divinity of Christ, everything God wants to give us for only 1 hour, and we get bored? 6 hours, and they listened intently. Why? Because they knew who they were. They knew where they were supposed to be, and they wanted to know, what does God expect me to do? And brothers and sisters, it should be the same with us. As Jesus said in the gospel, the Spirit of the Lord rested upon him, the Spirit that called him as the Son of God to be our Messiah. He has given you and me a share in that very same Spirit through our baptism and through our confirmation. Like Christ, we are to bring the good news of salvation to those who don't have it, those who are poor in spirit and in darkness of ignorance, to proclaim liberty to captives, those who are held captive by their sinfulness or temptations and can't seem to break out of it, those who are blind and don't see the goodness of God, those who are oppressed by their own opinions or the divisions of this world, but to let the world know that God has called us to be an acceptable year, to be a people of unity, of peace, a people holy unto the Lord. So here we have that Spirit. What are we doing with it? All of us here are different persons, different personalities, but called by God and given that same Spirit. As St. Paul said, not everybody is meant to do the same thing, but whatever we do in our different vocations, as married persons, as single persons, as priests or religious, in our different states of life, being married or widowed, having a family, or whatever it is we do in our different occupations, every one of us has a share in the same Spirit, but using our different vocations, occupations, gifts, and abilities to bring the presence of God to a world in need. We can't do that unless we're paying attention, unless we listen and allow the Holy Spirit to really get inside the structure and keep it firm. Like a building, Christ has formed us into that great structure. Our foundation is Christ himself. So are you paying attention to Christ? Do you listen to him? Do you read the Gospels? Do you memorize the words of Jesus and put those words into practice in everything you do? Do you try to continue to learn about your faith from good, solid, and faithful sources? Is your attention focused on God? And do you attend to his will? Always looking for everything that he's asking you to do, always attending to that Spirit, the voice of the Spirit, in every detail of your life. As the Psalms remind us, if the Lord does not build the house, then the laborers build in vain. But we have been given a great Spirit, a Spirit of freedom, a Spirit of love, a Spirit of holiness, that we always seek to find God in every detail and be solid on Christ our foundation.